evening and welcome to Verity Baptist Church. Let's go ahead and find our seats this evening. Find a seat and turn to page number 259 this morning. I mean this evening. Find a seat and find a hymnal close to you and turn to page number 259. We will be singing Jesus Saves this evening. Sing it out. On the first, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Better news to every land. Climb the seas, across the wave. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Psalm number 259. On the second, waft it on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. When the heart for mercy prays, this is song tune. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. On the last, give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shall salvation flow and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This is a song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Great singing. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church on our Wednesday evening service. Glad to see everyone here this evening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come to church this evening, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for everyone that's here, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've done throughout the week. Pray you bless the service and the preaching to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's turn to page number 145. Psalm number 145. It's a Verity favorite this evening. We have to sing it with some passion, all right? Sing it out on the first.
When peace like a river ascendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
Amen. All right. Well, let's take our bulletins tonight, and we'll look at some announcements very quickly. If you do not have a bulletin, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers can get one for you. If you need a bulletin, just put your hand up, and we'll get one for you. The verse this week, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's a good verse there. We like that. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see our service time, Sunday morning service, 10:30 a.m. And we do invite you to be with us, of course, on Sunday morning, on the Lord's Day for church, Sunday evening service at 6 p.m. And we're glad you made it out to the Wednesday evening Bible study. And we have a special service tonight. We'll talk about that here in a minute. If you look at our soul winning times, our main soul winning times on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we'd love for you to join us for soul winning. And soul winning, of course, is when we go out, we knock doors, we invite people to church, and we preach the gospel to anyone who's interested. We have additional soul winning times on Thursdays and Fridays and Sundays at 2 p.m. So we'd love for you to join us for any of those soul winning times. If you'd like to go out tomorrow, there'll be a time for you at 2 p.m. If you're a first-time guest, if it's your first time here at Verity Baptist Church, or maybe your second time or your third time, we're glad you're here. We have a gift we'd like to give you. As you walk out of the church building tonight, as you go through the main foyer, you'll see a little table set up, and on that table, you'll see these little gift bags. Please grab one on your way out as a gift from us to you for being our guest tonight. There are several resources in this bag that we'd like you to have, but the one I like to highlight is this documentary that our church made. It's called Being Baptist. It's very well made, very interesting. I tell people it's entertaining and it's educational. It'll teach you about Christian heritage and specifically about what it means to be a Baptist. We want to give this to you as a gift, so please make sure you don't leave here tonight without grabbing one of those gift bags. And if you are a guest, we'd ask that you'd please take a moment and fill out the communication card, which is inserted in your bulletin. If you need a pen, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers can bring you by a Verity Baptist Church pen. You're welcome to keep the pen as a gift from us as well. We're not going to do anything odd with your information. We just want a record of your attendance. If you can fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, we would appreciate that. And we actually want to be a blessing to you, but we need your information to do that. So please take a moment to fill out the communication card. When we're done with the announcements, we're going to sing a song. And when we're done singing, we're going to receive the offering. And as the offering plate goes by, you can drop this card in the offering plate. If you look at the announcements there, of course, we are a family-integrated church. What that means is that children and infants are always welcomed in the service. We don't separate children from their parents for any reason. We do have mother-baby rooms and daddy rooms available for your convenience. All of the rooms have comfortable seating. They have monitors set up so you can watch the service and listen to it. So if you have a child that's being distracting during the service or if you need some privacy, we would encourage you to use those mother-baby rooms and daddy rooms as needed. If you're not sure where those are at, you can look at the back of the bulletin and you'll see a layout of our church building. It'll show you where the restrooms are, where the mother baby rooms are, where the daddy baby room is. It'll show you everything you need. So please take a moment to look at that. If you're here tonight and need to be baptized, please let us know. We'd love to baptize you. And all you need to do is on your communication card, check off that you'd like information about being baptized, and we'll follow up with you in regards to that. If you look at the announcements and upcoming events, of course, we encourage you to be with us on Sunday as we continue our series called Journey with Jesus. We are walking through the Gospel of Luke verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we are on a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, learning about his life, his ministry. And on Wednesday nights, usually we are going through the book of 2 Corinthians. Tonight is a very special Wednesday evening service, and we are glad to have Deacon Corbin Russell with us from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, and he's going to be preaching for us tonight, and I'm glad that he is here. I consider Brother Corbin a friend, and we enjoyed having lunch this afternoon, and he's doing a great work there in Tucson. He works as a deacon for Faith Forward Baptist Church, but he's leading the Tucson Satellite Church, and I asked him to give us a few words about how things are going there and to give us a little update before he preaches, but we're glad he's here. So make sure you pay attention, make sure you're saying amen, encouraging him, and make sure you go by and see him after the service and say hello. But we are thankful to have him here tonight. We also want to invite you later on this week to a wedding for Moses Thompson and Skylar Johnson. That's this Saturday, February 5th at 4 p.m. It's at Gibson Ranch Park, and if you'd like to attend, you can sign up on your communication card. And then, of course, you should have one of these big cards in your bulletin there, and we want to remind you about I Love My Church Sunday. We're having a special service on Sunday, February 13th, and we're going to be talking about loving the house of God and being excited about the house of God. We want to encourage you to join us on that day. That's not the day you want to miss. We want to encourage you to be here, and we want to encourage you to invite someone, invite a friend, a coworker, neighbor to be with us. We're going to have some special things going on. The VBC choir will be singing. Of course, I'll be preaching a special sermon that morning, and we're going to give out bags of pink vanilla and caramel Valentine's Day popcorn for all of the families in attendance. And then that evening, at the Sunday evening service, after Sunday evening service, we're going to have a potluck, so we encourage you to join us on that day. That's just right around the corner, Sunday, February 13th. It's not this Sunday, but next Sunday. So make sure you remember that and mark your calendars for I Love My Church Sunday. Also, we have a South Sac Soul Winning Blitz coming up on Saturday, February 19th. It's from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. The meeting location is there. You'll be meeting at a Starbucks in South Sac. If you'd like to participate, you can sign up on your communication card. Our deacon, Brother Oliver Gonzalez, is leading that up, so you can ask him if you have any questions. Lunch will be provided if you're signing up for the Blitz. If you're not signing up for the soul-winning Blitz, then we still have our regular soul-winning meeting here at the church building on Saturday morning like we normally do. But if you're doing the soul-winning Blitz, you'll be meeting in South Sac, so make sure you're aware of that. 9 Chapters a Day Challenge, you should have finished that by now. So make sure that if you've done that, you fill out the communication card, legibly write your name so we can add it for the plaque. Choir, they're practicing at 5 p.m. this week. Homeschool group, they've got a PE class on Thursday, February 10th at 10 a.m. And then the Valentine's Day party for the homeschool group on Monday, February 14th. Upcoming cleaning crew, you can check for your name there. There's different things there for you to look at. Please don't forget to turn your cell phones off or place them on silent during the service so that they're not a distraction to anybody. If you look at the back of the bulletin, birthdays and anniversaries for the month of January, those are all passed. Praise report, money matters, all those things are there for you to see. If you did not receive a prayer sheet on your way in, please raise your hand. I want to make sure that you get one of these prayer sheets. Due to the fact that we have Brother Corbin, Deacon Corbin, preaching for us tonight, we're not going to take the time like we normally do on a Wednesday night to pray through the prayer sheet, but I'd like you to have one in hand so you can still pray for our church family at home. But we're not going to take the time tonight to go through the prayer sheet like we normally do on Wednesday night, but we want you to have it so that you can take it home and pray in regards to that. We're going to sing a song. When we're done singing, we're going to receive the offering. And then after that, we'll have the reading of the scriptures, and then we'll have Deacon Corbin preach for us tonight. So he'll be preaching for us right after the offering, after the reading of the text, which is after the offering. And again, we're thankful he's here, and I'm looking forward to his sermon and his preaching tonight. So let's go ahead and take our songbooks. We'll sing one song before we receive the offering. And let's go to page number 246, page number 246. And we'll sing, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb, 246. I know it's a midweek service and you're tired, but let's go ahead and lift our voices and sing it out like you're saved, all right? Sing it out like you're redeemed on the first. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. By the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Good, 246, sing it out on the second. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, sing it out on the last. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Good singing. We'll have the guys come up and help us with the offering at this time. And let me ask this question. Who here has never heard, raise your hand if you've never heard Brother Corbin preach in person. Raise your hand. All right, good. A lot of you haven't. So you're in for a treat. Praise the Lord for that. And I respect Brother Corbin as a man of God and as a preacher of the Word of God. And I appreciate his friendship. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for allowing us to gather together tonight. Lord, we pray that you bless the offering. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver. And Lord, we do thank you for Brother Corbin and the work he's doing as the deacon of Faithful Word Baptist Church. We pray that you would anoint him with your spirit tonight, that he would speak to us, and that we might draw closer to you as a result of what we hear today. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Let's open up to John 6, John chapter number 6. If you need a Bible, put your hand up, and I'm not sure if I bring you a Bible. John chapter number 6. If you need a Bible, keep your hand up, and I'm sure I'll come by. John chapter number 6. You'll read the entire chapter as your custom. John 6, beginning verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in this desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many of the four of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This isn't a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except the word given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the twelve, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you, 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for our church, Lord, and for your word. And I thank you for Brother Corbin being here, God. I ask you to just meet with us tonight, Lord. Just be with Brother Corbin tonight. Just strengthen him, lift him in our spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's a real pleasure to be here. It's a real honor. I really appreciate the warm welcome. Just standing out there in the foyer, getting all the handshakes and the smiles. Feel right at home. Appreciate all the kind words from Pastor Jimenez. Really appreciate that. And I trust everyone here appreciates him as a pastor. In case you didn't already know it, you got a great man of God there. So continue to support him and pray for his family. Again, thank you for the opportunity to preach here, Pastor Jimenez. And as he mentioned, I'm the deacon there over at Faithful Word Baptist Church, but also recently, just this last year, my family and I moved down to Tucson, bought a home there, and put down roots where we've been so that we could better run a church that we've been running for the last 3 years, a church plant there in Tucson, Faithful Word Tucson. And like I said, it's been there for about 3 years now. We are averaging about 40 to 50 people on a Sunday morning. We started out with probably in the single digits, and we've grown from there even in just these 3 years. Just this last fall, we expanded the space. We doubled the space. You guys know a little bit about something about that around here, right? Knocking down walls and getting into bigger spaces. So we've been in there for a while, and, we got in there. And it's exciting, of course, to get into a new space. But what's really exciting in Tucson is to see the spiritual growth that I've seen in the people that have stuck around and been there, and the people that have listened to the Word of God, listened to preaching the Word of God, have gotten involved in their church, and have grown spiritually. That's the real excitement, of course. And it's we got a great group, just a core group of people that want to go out and preach the gospel just like you guys do here, go out and reach their community for Christ. And it's great to be here in a church that has that same goal, that same mission. So the title of my sermon tonight is, "You Had to Be There." You had to be there. And of course, that's something, that's a common expression we're probably all real familiar with. And it's an expression that's used to say that people cannot understand something because they did not experience it or see it themselves. It's something you have to experience firsthand. Maybe this hasn't happened to you, but I know it's happened to me where I've told something, a story that I thought was very funny or humorous, and kind of had the person look at me at the end when I got done and they weren't laughing, and you just kind of say, "Well, you had to be there," right? And that's something that I think we can apply spiritually too. That's something that we can apply to the Christian life. That are some things in the Christian life that you just have to experience firsthand. And that title will make more sense as we get towards the end. But the reason why I'm preaching this tonight is because even in the short time that I've been leading a ministry for 3 years now, and I've been saved and in church for 20. Something I've noticed in that time is that it just seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it just seems to me that there's more spectators than participants in Christianity. Right. There's more spectators than there are people that are just getting involved in the work of God and participating in the work of God. And, I think I have some proof of that because of the fact that, we have been given a great task to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, right? Yeah. Now, has that happened? Have we managed to go out and preach the gospel to every creature? We haven't. That's not something that we've succeeded in. That's something we strive to do. And, of course, no one church, no one person, can reach everybody in the whole world. We all try to reach as many people as we can. Hopefully, I know this church trying to reach Sacramento. I'm trying to reach Tucson. You got Faithful, we're Tempe, trying to reach in the greater Phoenix area. We all do what we can. But the fact is that if Jesus wants us to preach the gospel to every creature, then why isn't it being done? Well, it's because I believe that there's more people that are just spectating, sitting on the sidelines and watching in the Christian life and not actually getting involved in the work that needs to be done. I mean, he did give us that great commission. He said, truly, the harvest truly is great, but what? The laborers are few. There's a great harvest. There's a great work to do. There's plenty of work, but there's not enough people to get the job done. This is something I believe that Jesus experienced in his own ministry. If you look there in John chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus, I believe he had spectators in his ministry. People that just wanted to come and just see what was going on, see what he was doing. What was he going to do next? What was he going to say next? But not really get involved, not really get into what it is he had for them to do. If you look there, verse 1, and after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. And why did they follow him? Because they were just eager to get involved in the work, because they wanted him to turn around and tell them what to do and give them a job to do. No, because they saw his miracles. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. Of course, if I was there and I saw those miracles, I'd be following him too. I'd be a spectator too. Who wouldn't want to see that? But I also believe that in Jesus' ministry, we see in this passage that not only did he just have spectators, but he had people there who were just there to take and not to give. They're just there to take and not to give. If you see there, look there in verse 22, he says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but his disciples were gone alone, jump to verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took to shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. So even these same people that came to just see the miracles, Jesus is even going further and calling them out, saying, you know what, you didn't just come to see the miracles. You just came because I fed you a meal. You just came because you wanted to get more bread. You're just there because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You know, and I know I'm not real familiar with Very Baptist Church and the people here, but even in a great church like Verity Baptist Church, it wouldn't surprise me that if there are people that came here just to spectate, people that only came here just to take, people that only came just to see what Pastor Jimenez was going to preach next, just to see what was going to take place next. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's great. We're just talking about at lunch, how are we going to get out there and be more visible to people on YouTube and social media? We want people to see what we're doing. We want people to know that there's churches like this here in Sacramento and in Tucson, Arizona, that we're there. We want to be seen. Well, you know what we want more than that is when people see us and they come and see what's going on, that they show up and they don't just take. But they show up and they actually participate. And look, I understand that people come to church and they need to take. They need to show up and they have needs and we need to help them with those needs and help them along. But at some point, people have to decide that they're going to get involved in the work of the ministry and not just be spectators, not just be people that are going to sit on the sidelines. And even in a great church like Verity Baptist Church, which is doing a great work, I'm sure that there are people that might come and just decide to be, well, I'm just going to spectate. Just see what's going on here. People who are there just to observe and receive. And you know what? I feel confident saying that because that's the way it is in all ministries. That's the way it really is in all ministries. There's always going to be certain people that are just there just to spectate. Even in Paul's day, you know, there's further proof of this, that Paul experienced this in his own ministry. If you want to keep something there in John chapter 6, turn over, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. This was something that Jesus experienced, as we saw in John 6, and I also believe this is something that even Paul himself experienced. If you look there in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Now, when I read that the other day, I thought, is he talking about the same group of people when he calls them the saints and the faithful brethren? And I believe that he is here, at least in this example of Colossians, that he's saying, hey, not only are you saints, but you're also faithful brethren. But I got to thinking, I said, you know, I know there's a lot of people that are saints, but just because you're a saint doesn't make you a faithful brother. Right. You know, there's some people that are saints, they're saved, they're going to go to heaven, they're they're blood washed, they've been born again, you know, they've been redeemed, but that doesn't necessarily going to make you a part of, you know, a faithful member of a church. That's something you have to decide to do. That's not something that just happens automatically because you got saved. That's something you have to say, you know what, I'm saying, and actually get involved in the work of the ministry, not just be a spectator. You know, I wonder, was Paul greeting one group of people or two there? I would like to assume that it was two, but when you read some of his other epistles, you can see that, you know, there are two different groups of people that he addresses throughout the scripture. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5, I'll read to you, he said, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you. And then he goes on and says in the next verse, warn them that are unruly. He's saying, look, you know, you need to know them that labor among you and admonish them and esteem them very highly for their work's sake. You know, and then the other people who are unruly. He said there's some people that are working not at all. They're not even working in the church. You know, there's always going to be these two groups of people in these ministries. But also, you know, there's going to be people, obviously, who do work. You know, and I believe that's probably the vast majority of people in this church. And that's in most churches that I've been in lately, you know, in Faithful Word and churches like this, that is the case. You know, most everybody goes soul winning. Most everybody is involved. Most people are going to take that prayer list home and actually pray through it. Amen. And Paul had that too. He said in Romans 16, greet Mary who bestowed much labor on us. Now, why did she get that greeting? Because she wasn't just a spectator. She was somebody who did what? Who bestowed much labor upon them. He said in Romans 16, salute Tryphena and Tryphosia, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. I mean, they're getting these shout-outs. How would you like to have that? You know, you say, I want my name in Scripture. Well, you know, maybe and maybe not. I guess it's what's attached to that name. You know, how he's using that name. He uses some other names, you know, Hymenaeus and Alexander. You know, those guys didn't want their names in there. You know, they've been delivered unto Satan. They may not, they may learn not to blaspheme. But you got these people here, they're being, getting a shout out from the Apostle Paul. But why did that happen? Because they bestowed much labor, because they labor in the Lord. If you would, keep something in John there, John 6, but go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is a real, you know, familiar passage. I've heard this passage preached a lot. I don't think I've ever, you know, preached on it. But it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth. You know, Paul seems like he's singling out the people that labor, the people that work, and he's making sure, look, you need to, you know, honor those people, you need to help those people, you need to show some respect for those people, because those are the people that are actually getting the work done. But here's the thing, that could be any of us. Any one of us could be these people. Any one of us could be somebody that have addicted ourselves to the ministry of the saints if we've decided to not be just a spectator in the Christian life, but actually be a participant, if we'd actually decide to actually be there when it mattered. To not be to not be a spectator, you know, obviously you have to be a participant. You know, that's really the two choices you have in the Christian life. You can either be somebody who's, you know, up in the stands, on the sidelines, cheering on the team, real excited, and look, that's great, you know, that's good to have that, but you know, where we really need people is down on the field. We really need some people down there to, you know, take that, you know, throw that Hail Mary, you know, I don't know if we could say that in a Baptist church, you know, throw that touchdown pass, get that interception, whatever. I don't watch a lot of sports. I'm trying up here, all right? That's what we need. We need some people, you know, take off that big foam finger and put it down, you know, number one, and actually get involved in the work, not just be a spectator in the Christian life. So to be a spectator, to not be a spectator, you have to be a participant. Let me give you some reasons why not everybody is a participant. Why, you say, why would that happen? It just seems like everybody, you know, if you got saved, you'd be so grateful to have gotten saved, and you just want to just jump headfirst in the Christian life. You just want to, you know, dive right in and get involved. Well, why is it that some people just never get there? Some people just never do that. Well, I believe one reason is because they get offended very easily. Some people just get offended very easily, don't they? Go back to John 6, where we were, John chapter 6. You know, this is something that's just getting worse and worse today. You know, and every time I touch on this, I park it for a minute because it's getting worse. That people are just getting so touchy. They're becoming such snowflakes today. They get so easily offended. And then they come to a church where someone actually gets up and says, "Thus saith the Lord," and doesn't apologize for what the Bible says, and they get all offended. And off they go. And you know what they end up being? They just end up being a spectator. They end up just watching online. They end up just, you know, going to some other church where nothing's going to be asked of them, where no one's going to ever, you know, give them an opportunity even to serve. They get offended easily. That's what we saw in John 6 in verse 59, is that these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Let me explain. I know that was a hard saying, but, you know, he didn't backpedal. What does he say? "Doth this offend you?" I just love that statement when he says that. Just, "Doth that offend you? Does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth," and so on and so on. Let's jump down to verse 65. "And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man could come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." I mean, can you imagine of being there? At seeing Christ, seeing the miracles, right? I mean, that's the same chapter. Seeing the miracle of bread, feeding, the thousands of people. Seeing all the things that he did. Just being firsthand witness to the ministry of Christ himself. And then you hear something that you don't quite like that kind of rubs you the wrong way and just turning your back on him and walking away and say, "Well, I'm not going to be part of that ministry." We say, "Well, I'd never do that. I would never do that. If Jesus were, I would never do that." Yeah, but that's exactly what happens in churches. Well, I know it's not Jesus getting up here, but it's a man of God preaching Jesus' word. It's him getting up and preaching some hard sayings. And people go, I know this church is soul winning. And I know this church is King James only, and all the other churches around here aren't. And I know they got a lot of good things going. They're family integrated. I like that. You know, I just looked at the bulletin. You guys are doing, there's all kinds of extra activities going on. I mean, you're getting, popcorn and candy corn and everything else, right? There's always something going on here. There's a lot of great things in that church, but, sometimes that pastor, he just says something, and I just don't know if I can go there anymore. And they turn their back on a good, soul-winning, King James-only, independent Baptist church. Amen. And a lot of times, it's the only game in town. That's what boggles my mind when it happens in Tucson. I mean, we've got some other Baptist churches, praise God, but I don't know that any of them are trying to knock every door in Tucson. I know there's one that goes soul winning, and I know for a fact that they limit themselves to the zip code. I mean, I guess it's something, but it always surprises me. But you know what? It really shouldn't when you read a passage like this, when you see people who would turn their back on Jesus himself because of a hard saying. You know, if you're going to be a participant, you have to accept the fact that things aren't going to go your way. Amen. And being a good team member. I'm not saying you have to come to this church and agree with everything. I'm just saying you have to, if something bothers you. Now, look, obviously there's some things you have to agree with, all right? And if you're questioning what any of those things are, speak to the staff. But, people come and they get offended over really minor things. Well, he put a Christmas wreath up. At Christmas time, he put a wreath up on the pulpit, or they decorated for Christmas. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't like the color they painted the wall. People get bent out of shape over the most petty things. And look, you don't have to like the color of the wall. You don't have to like the decorations. You don't have to like something that the church is doing. You don't have to like the direction that somebody, the pastor's taking it. But you know what? You could just go along to get along. Especially when that church is the only game in town. Why wouldn't you just go along to get along? Look, if you want to be a participant, and I hope that you do, if you're not, understand this, that if you're going to participate, if you're going to be a good team member, things aren't always going to go your way. I mean, isn't that true at work? I know it's some of the, you know, we that go out and you work, and there's probably some guys at your work that, you know, you don't really like, that maybe say things or do things a certain way that you say, that bothers me. Do you run to the boss every time that happens and say, I don't like what they did, I don't like what they said? You know what would happen if you kept doing it? You'd just get fired. That's not what the boss doesn't want to put up with that. You know, he wants people who can just show up, you know, do their job and get along and play well with others and be a good participant and understand they don't have to have everything their way. If you're there in John 6, look at verse 67. He said, then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And that's what I wonder about people that quit great churches like this for no good reason. I just think, where are you going to go? And you know what they're going to do? They're going to go to another church, and they're going to find something there that they didn't like. Then they're going to go to another church, and they're going to find something there they don't like. Then they're going to go to another church and find that there's something there that they don't like. And then maybe they'll make their all the way back around to us and say, I still don't like this place. But maybe they'll stick, maybe they'll learn, maybe they won't, I don't know. But that's one reason why I think a lot of people choose not to be a participant and just remain a spectator in the Christian life, because they're too easily offended, by even by little trivial things sometimes. Another reason why people choose to not be a participant and remain spectators is that they can't handle hardship. They can't handle hardship. Because here's the thing, if you're going to get involved, if you're going to be a part of the local church, if you're going to go out and do the work that God has given us to do, there's going to be some hardship. Amen. We know the promise that in 2 Timothy that, yea, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not maybe, you shall. If you would, go over to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. This is a parallel passage over in Matthew chapter 14. I'll begin reading in verse 19 in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. Matthew 14, 19, and he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and they were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And don't miss this in verse 22. And Jesus straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. And that constrain means to force or to compel. You know, he's saying, look, you guys need to get in the ship. And we know what happens next, right? He says, get into the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And he went up, and when he had sent away the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So he sends them out, and now let me ask you this. Do you think Jesus knew that storm was coming? Do you think that caught him off guard? I mean, he could speak to the sea, and it's still. I mean, he's the creator of all things. He knew that this storm was coming, and yet he still forced them to get in that ship. And I think what he's trying to do here is, you know, or at least what we can glean from this is the fact that if you're going to follow Christ, you know, he's going to lead you into some storms. He's going to lead you into some rough waters. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be more than just a spectator in the Christian life, if you actually want to participate, if you actually want to get involved in the work and follow Christ and do the work, you know, there's going to come a time where you're in a storm, where the winds are going to be contrary. And I love it here in verse 25. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking in the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. It is a spirit, they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, and get his response here, be of good cheer. I mean, consider what the situation that they're in. They just got forced into the ship. They're out in the night, rowing, toiling in a storm. Jesus shows up, the guy who forced them into the ship and told them to go, and says, hey, be of good cheer, it is I. Amen. Not, oh, yeah, sorry about that. I didn't realize the storm was coming. Are you guys okay? Are you wet? God, yeah. You didn't apologize. Hey, be a good cheer. It's me. You know, and they're like, well, I'm surprised at the response here, where we're going to see in a minute, but you kind of wonder, what did they think at that moment? Like, oh, it's you. Yeah, you, the guy who sent us out into this. Who, if he had been here, could have stopped this anytime he wanted. Maybe they could have got a little indignant at the Lord. You know, we don't see that, but, and in fact, we see the complete opposite here. Instead of complaining about the fact that Christ had sent him out in the storm, you know, instead of complaining about it, Peter does what? He participates. Amen. Instead of complaining, Peter participates. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. That's pretty bold. You know, we pick on Peter a little bit, don't we? But that's pretty bold. And he said, come. And when Jesus and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I mean, this is one of the probably the most famous miracles that you read about in Scripture. This is a very well-known story. And it only happened because Peter was willing to participate. You know, the 11 are still in the boat. We know how it turns out. He sees the winds and the waves, and he doubts, and he begins to sink, and he cries out, Lord, save me, and the Lord lifts him up. But I doubt he got back in the boat, and everyone's like, way to go, Peter. What's the matter, Peter? Couldn't stay in the water? You know, they were like, wow. They had to have been just blown away. They're probably thinking, I wish I could have done that. Wish I could have, you know, instead of just sitting here kind of murmuring myself and being upset about the fact that Jesus sent me out here in the storm, maybe I could have taken an opportunity to actually do something great for God and got involved and participated. I mean, the 11, they're still in the boat. The multitudes, they're sitting fat and sassy at home. They've got a belly full of bread. They're just, you know, taking it easy. They're nice and warm in their houses. But the guy who decided to participate is involved himself in one of the greatest miracles, one of the most well-known miracles that you read about in Scripture. Why? Because instead of complaining, instead of just being a spectator in the Christian life, he got involved, he participated. Amen. You know, I like to imagine, you know, just for application's sake here, that maybe Peter and the disciples, you know, would later describe this to somebody. They say, oh, there was the storm, and we saw the Spirit walking, and you know, Jesus, and then it turned, and it said it was the Lord. And then Peter, you know, just, you know, blows our minds, and he just says, well, if it's you, then bid me come in the water. And the next thing you know, Peter's out, and people are just kind of listening, going, uh-huh, yeah. I imagine them telling that story and getting to the end and just saying, well, I guess you just had to be there. I guess you just had to be there to see that. I guess you just had to be willing to go out in that storm and follow Jesus and go wherever he told you to go. And put up with the hardship. I guess you just had to be there for that part if you wanted to actually see something like that firsthand. You say, well, man, storms, persecutions. I mean, I'm all about participating, but who wants any of that? You know, I'd rather be in the multitude. I'd rather be nice and warm at home. Let me give you some reasons how and why you should participate, why you should be there. How and why you should participate. How? Well, let me give you a reason how. How can you do it? Here's one. Read your Bible. Amen. Read your Bible. Start there. Read your Bible. That sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? And it is. And we preach that all the time. Hey, read your Bible. Read your Bible. But you know what? That's really an important thing. That's something you need to be there for. I mean, it's going to bless you in so many ways, if you would just start reading your Bible on a regular basis. You'd be blessed in so many ways. It would help you with your life in so many ways. But consider this, that if you read your Bible, if you're somebody who knows the Word of God well, it just might be that you're one of the people that gets to reign in the millennium. Right. Now have I got your attention? You say, well, we're not going to reign in the millennium. Well, Jesus said that, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He said in Luke, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. I think he was literal about that, that there's going to be some people that are given authority over 10 cities and 5 cities. You say, what does reading your Bible have to do with that? Well, you have to remember that when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom, when he reigns for a thousand years, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Right? And what do you think the rule book's going to be? What's you think he's going to get here and then call a session of Congress? He's going to get all the world leaders against, okay, how are we going to do things? Now that I'm here, let's figure out how we're gonna how I should run the planet, how I should run my kingdom. What do you guys think? And there's gonna be a bunch of, he's gonna write up a bunch of bylaws and everything else. No, you know what he's gonna use? The Bible. Amen. That's what he's gonna use. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 2, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." That's prophetic of the millennium. And he's saying, "Out of Zion shall go forth the law." That's the Bible, friend. "And the word of the Lord shall go from Jerusalem." So look, if that's the rule book that God's going to use, that the Lord's going to use to run his kingdom, and he's going to put people in charge, doesn't it just make sense that he's going to put people in charge that know their Bible? The guy that was there, that was there for his Bible reading, that knew the word of God here on earth, he's the one that's going to say, "Well, I know what the law says, Lord. I know how to judge in this situation. I know what your will is because I've been reading it. I've been studying it. I've been memorizing it. I was there for the Bible reading." Well, then you're going to be the one who's been faithful in little that can go and reign over 10 cities. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, but to me it makes sense. I'd be shocked if the guy who never read his Bible, who never cared much for the things of God, is the one that gets to reign over 10 cities, over anything. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, if you would, go to Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8. He said in Luke, in 2 Timothy, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." So I want to reign with Christ. That sounds cool. And it does. 10 cities, give me that authority. Yeah, but in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, it says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." Oh, I want to do what Peter did. I want to walk on the water. Well, you got to go get wet. You got to go on the boat. You got to have some faith. You got to get involved. You can't be a spectator in the Christian life. You know, maybe if you read your Bible, you'll get to rule over the nations. Or maybe you'll get to heaven, and instead of hearing, "Be thou over 10 cities," you'll hear, "Guess you had to be there. You had to be there." How about, here's another way to get involved. Look, there's a lot of different ways to get involved, folks. But these are the big ones that we emphasize in churches like this, right? Bible reading. How about this? Go soul winning. Go soul winning. You know, I had a guy visit Tucson a while back. He's never coming back, so I can say this. He's not listening either. He was church shopping. And look, I get it. People church shop. And he came a couple times, and he came and went. And he came one time. And he was talking to our members. It was our anniversary Sunday, so we're all sticking around in the afternoon having our potluck. And, I overhear him, and he's talking to his members, and he's saying, "You know, well, I'd come here, but you guys don't have any kind of a missions program." And I'm thinking, do you see the map hanging in the corner over there that were colored in red? Do you see all the materials that we hand out? Do you see all the invites? But what he wants is so he could just pull out some money out of his pocket, put it in the plate, and go, "Well, I did my part. I spread the gospel." Look, if you want to get involved, go soul winning. And not just, "Well, I just give to the soul winning." No, I go soul winning. Here's the thing. You'll have some stories to tell. Say, "Well, why should I go soul winning? Why should I be there for that? Why should I show up?" Well, you'll have some stories to tell. Look at Luke chapter 8. And I know we know this story, folks, but put yourself in this story. That's how I love reading the Bible, is because maybe it's from all the fiction I read growing up or something that I probably shouldn't have read. It's the fact that I've developed this imagination. When I read these stories, I like to put myself there. You know, you're reading the story, you can hear these pigs, you can smell that soil, you can put yourself there. It says in verse 27, "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him." I mean, this is a cool story. I mean, isn't the world obsessed with this kind of stuff? The paranormal and everything? You know, that's all, a lot of that's just make-believe stuff. This is a true story. This happened to this guy. excuse me. Verse 31, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was an herd of many swine feeding in the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went out the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. That's a cool story. You know, there were some guys there that saw that happen. You know, the apostles were there. They were watching all this whole thing actually happen. And you know, that's why did they get to see that? Because they were willing to follow Jesus. They were willing to go minister to other people. You know, I don't know you have an exact story like this if you go soul winning. You know, if you do, tell me. I'd be fascinated to hear it. Right? I'd love to hear that. I might cry a little bit over the waste of all that good pork, but it's a cool story. You know, it makes me think of a story. When we first started down there in Tucson, our first year, we went out soul winning. I was out soul winning with my daughter, Karen. She's here tonight. And we were knocking on these doors, and I knocked on this door, and I knocked on the door, and the guy was a homo. And you say, how do you know? Did you ask him? Look, folks, you can tell, all right? If he wasn't a homo, then he was very, very feminine. He had the lisp, everything going on. But here's how I really know is that I'm like, do I even bother trying to give this guy the gospel? And I was like, well, benefit of the doubt. So, and normally I open up with a phrase like, hey, we're from a Baptist church. You mind if I can show you from the Bible how to be saved or something like that? But for some reason, that time I specifically said, hey, can I share the gospel with you? Something like that effect. And the guy was being very cordial, and he was well-spoken. Like as much as a homo can be well-spoken. You know, but he didn't have any kind of an impediment or anything like that. I mean, he could speak just fine. But as soon as I mentioned about me, showing him how to be saved, you know, and I'll go ahead and try and reenact it a little bit, his eyes just got this big, and he goes, ah, ah, ah. I'm embarrassing myself to edify you. Ah, ah. I'm not kidding. Just like that, ah, 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 I'm fine. And I got chills. I mean, because the guy was just talking normal, and all of a sudden, he's just like having a seizure up. You know, I'm talking to him. So I said, gospel. And I got a chill down my spine. I'm like, this guy has got a demon in him. Now, maybe I'm, thinking things or something like that, but that's the impression I got. I felt like in that moment, you say, well, why was he doing that? Because as he was doing that, he's looking at Karen. Do you remember this? She was chasing butterflies or stepping on ants, probably. But he was looking at her, and I realized what was going on. The devil in him, you know, was trying to lash out, but that last little shred of humanity that he had didn't want to do that to this little girl here with her dad, freak out and tear this guy. That was the impression I got. You don't have to believe it. It's my story. I'll tell it however I want. Okay. The point is this, you know, that's a story I got because I went out soul winning. Now, maybe that's not the best story to encourage you to go soul winning. Maybe I should have gone with, you know, the tearjerker from the Indian reservation or something like that, you know. But the point is this, that if you go out soul winning, you get some cool stories out of it, don't you? But you know what? Some of you look at me and are like, I don't know about that story. You know what? You had to be there. You had to be there. Look, if you'd been there, you'd believe me. The way it went down, you would have said, that guy had a devil. Cool story. And there's, you know what, we could go around to the other soul winners in this room, and we could probably all just start telling stories about when this happened and when that happened. And not just, you know, those far out ones like the one I just told. Look, I don't want to frighten anybody or discourage anybody from soul winning. That's far and few between. That's never happened, anything like that's never happened again to me, you know. You know, normally it's pretty run-of-the-mill stuff. But, I mean, part of the thrill for me to go out soul winning is, like, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know who I'm going to run into. I don't know what. It's exciting to me. Breaks it up. You know, you say, that's a cool story. Man, it's a cool story that they got to see these swine, you know, infested with demons. This guy's delivered, and this whole herd just runs violently down a hill and is choked in the sea. I mean, it's a cool story. Boy, Brother Corbin, that you got a cool story there. I want one. Well, you know what? You can't be a spectator. And you know what else you have to do? You have to be willing to get uncomfortable. That's why a lot of people say, that soul winning thing, not going to do it. That's not for me. I'm not going to get involved. Why? It makes me uncomfortable. you know, you'll get over it. But, you know, preaching makes me uncomfortable. Did you know that? But you know what? You do it anyway, and people get blessed, don't they? Amen. You get up and just preach it anyway, and preach what the Lord's laid on your heart, and people get blessed. Amen. You know, if you would just get used to being uncomfortable, people would get saved. Amen. I mean, look, that's what they had to do here to see this great soul-winning story. Look at verse 22. You know, this is, earlier on in the story, this is before he cast the demons into the swine. Now it came to pass in a certain day that he went into ship with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. This is them going to this guy. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. It's just some about the Lord just putting these guys in the middle of the storm all the time. I mean, every time they see a boat after that, they might just have, you know, PTSD or something. But he wants to get them over there. He wants them to experience this thing. But before that, you know what they had to do? They had to go through this storm. We know the story. They wake him up. Hey, we perish. And he gets up and he calms the sea with the word. So, you know, if you want to not be a spectator in the Christian life, you have to be a participant. You have to get involved. Get involved with the Bible reading. Get involved with the soul winning. You'll have some stories to tell. And not only that, you'll be rewarded for your labor. You'll be rewarded for your labor. You won't, besides the fact that souls will get saved from hell, you'll also get rewarded for your labor. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Jesus said in Revelation 22, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. He said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we know these verses, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, verse 12, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. You know, you go out and do the work of the Lord, you will receive that reward. It's there. You'll get to heaven after a life of participating, after a life of soul winning, after a life of being uncomfortable and being willing to go through the storms. You'll go through that, and you'll get a reward. Or you can be told, you had to be there. You'll see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so going by with their crowns full of jewels, off to rule their cities. Oh, what's going on there? How did that happen? Well, you had to be there. You just had to be there. And at that point, you'll probably say, man, I wish I would have gotten involved. I guarantee it. A sermon I heard very early on in my Christian life that has stuck with me this illustration. Every time I kind of touch on this subject, it always comes to mind. This preacher got up and he talked about, he turned to this verse and he read it. And he said, you know, there's going to be people there. Our works are going to be burned up. And people are going to go through those ashes and just start pulling out jewels, pulling out crowns. Those are the works that remain. They're going to be there. But there's going to be some people that go to that fire when it's all burned up and it's burned and it's done. They're going to be digging through those ashes and digging through those ashes and find nothing. Right. You know what they're going to have for all of eternity? A pile of ashes. And I always joke and say, well, you better hope they got Ziploc bags in heaven. You better hope no one sneezes in heaven. You better hope there's no breeze in heaven, because all you've got is ashes, because all you wanted to do in the Christian life is spectate. Spectate, watch other people do it. Think about how I could do it better. I don't like the way they did it. But never getting involved. You could have the reward, or you can be told you had to be there. My last point on how to not be a spectator, how to be a participant, and I know these are very basic, but this is really where it begins. Go to church. Amen. Go to church. And I mean go to church all the time. Every chance you can, go to church. Look, I get it. Sometimes people live far away. It's harder to get there. Sometimes our schedules. I'm not saying, you know, if some people get sick, all of that, I understand. But look, if you're sitting out of church on Sunday night because your team's on, you're a spectator. You're a spectator watching that game at home, and you're a spectator in the Christian life. Saying, I'll catch pastor's sermon later this week. You know, and you can, but you know what? There's something about hearing the sermon in person, isn't there? I mean, the best sermons I've ever heard were not on the internet. And look, I've heard some good sermons on the internet. I've gone on YouTube and just heard some great sermons. But the best sermons I've ever heard have always been in person. And it's not because it was a better sermon because of what was said. It's because I was there in person. Because there's just something about being there in person that just makes it better. It has more of an impact. So go to church. You'll get to hear that sermon. Or you can hear it online and just think, well, I guess you just had to be there for that one. You'll hear a truth that will bless you. Let me close with this thought, is that the spectators in this life, the people that just want to sit on the sidelines in the Christian life, the spectators here on earth, they're going to be spectators in heaven. And look, I don't want that for anybody. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for the people in Tucson. I don't want that for any of you. I want everyone to be a participant. Don't be a spectator here on earth. Why? Because you're going to end up being a spectator in heaven, watching everybody else with their rewards, watching everybody else get to be rewarded and rule and reign and all of that. If in heaven all you can say is, I got saved, if you get to heaven and say, well, what did you do? Well, I got saved, and then I really didn't do anything else for God. I got saved, and that was pretty much it. Well, then you know what? You're just a spectator. You're a non-participant, right? Go to Luke 8, if I don't know if I had you still there. We're going to close there. The Bible says in Daniel 2, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. This is talking about the resurrection. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Look, we don't know everything about heaven, everything about glory. But we know that. We know that they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Amen. That sounds pretty good to me. I don't know exactly what all that means. But I don't want to be on the spectating end of that. Oh, that's what they meant. I want to say, this is what they meant. This is what Daniel said. This is what he was talking about. Now, that was what he's talking about over there. And, you know, that wise there, you know, it's talking about being a soul winner. He that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. Look there at Luke 8, verse 18. He said, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And was told him by certain, which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. So he's in this room that's packed. He's preaching to these people. And his relatives, you know, his blood relatives show up. And they say, hey, we need to talk to him. It's like, well, why don't you go inside and sit down? Instead of beckoning the Lord out there. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Amen. Look, once you're saved, you know, look, these are talking about his physical, relatives here. But you know what? In a way, we're all blood relatives with Jesus, right? Yeah. We're all blood bought. We're all born, you know, we've all been a bought with his precious blood. We're all blood relatives, right? Amen. But does that mean we're all in the house? Maybe we're a blood relative that's outside and say, well, let's get the Lord over here on my terms. You know, go in there and get the Lord and tell him, well, we got to talk to him. And he hears that and he says, I'll tell you who the people I'm going to talk to. I'll tell you about the people that are going to, I'm going to esteem highly. The people that are going to be in my inner circle. The people that hear the word of God. And then what? Do it. Amen. Do it. People that aren't just spectators are people who participate in the Christian life. They come to church, they hear the preaching of the word of God, they read the word of God, and you know what? They say, you know, that's what the Bible says, and I'm going to do it. Amen. It might make me uncomfortable, I might not like it, I might not maybe necessarily agree with all of it, but you know, I'm just going to go ahead to get along, and I'm going to just do this because I know I'll be blessed if I do. Those that hear the word of God and do it. And say, well, that's what I'm going to do. You know what, Brother Corbin, you convinced me. I hope I have. I hope I have. But I'll remind you, verse 22. Now it came to pass in a certain day, here we go again, that he went into a ship with the disciples and he said, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And we know how this story goes because we just read it. You know, we want to be on that inner circle. We want to be the participants. You know, he's going to say, let's get in the boat. Amen. You want to go see something? You want to go have a story to tell? Let's get in the boat. And let's head out into that storm. But, you know, you don't want to be the people that draw back and say, I don't know if I'm comfortable. And look at how it ends. And they launched forth. Amen. I said, let's go do this thing. Let's get after it. Because here's the thing. People who spectate here will spectate in heaven. But you know what? People who participate here, they will participate in heaven. Amen. And that's what we should want. You know, a lot of people are going to hear on that day, I hope it's a lot of people, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, that's reward enough, isn't it? Amen. You know, I always think of that song, you know, by and by when I look on his face, that scar tattered face, I'll wish I had given him more. You know, you're going to get to heaven and see Jesus. You're going to look back. And even those of us that do work, that do a lot of work for the Lord, we're going to get there and we're still going to say, we're going to take one look in that face. And we're going to say, I wish I'd given him more. Amen. You know, I just don't want to, and we'll all say that, but I just don't want to be the person that gets up there and says, I wish I'd given him something. Anything. But there's going to be some people that hear that. Some people are going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Other people are going to hear what? Guess you had to be there. Let that not be you. Don't be a spectator in the Christian life. You've got a great church here. Great church. You got a great man of God. You're preaching the word. Get involved. Get involved in the work here. Don't be a spectator. Be a participant. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for this great church. Thank you to the folks that have come out here on a Wednesday night, Lord, to hear the preaching of your word, and Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, and Lord, I pray you'd help us all, Lord, to just to be involved in the work of the ministry, Lord, that we would be able to hear those words one day when we get to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We ask these things in Christ's name, amen.
Man, let's grab our songbooks and turn to page number 63. Song number 63. Song number 63, what a day that will be. Song number 63, let's sing it out on the first. There is coming a day when a heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Great. Seeing before we dismiss, if anyone has questions about salvation, church membership, or baptism, pastor would be at the door. We'd love to talk to you or direct you to someone who's trained to do that. I'm going to ask Brother Matt, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we do thank you for the word that was preached to us tonight, Lord. Just put in all our hearts, Lord, not to be spectators, to get involved in the work. God, we're just a loss for you. Lord, I pray you bring many out to go soul in this week. Keep us safe as we depart. Bring us back. In Jesus' name, that's all he said. Amen.
Amen.